Vihino amadonai Eloheinu olenu, maaseh edenu kundunai olenu, maaseh edenu kundunehu. Shalom aleichem, beruchim abayim, welcome everybody. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to start a new series of shiurim on some very, very important topics, specifically on inyanim, matters relating, I guess, to spiritual experiences. Possibly you could call this psychic phenomena, the occult, maybe. We are going to be learning from a text from Old Izmir, Turkey, written in the 1800s, early 1800s, 1824. I'm not mistaken. I believe this book was originally published. It's called Minchat Eliyahu. It is written by a Rabbi Eliyahu Kohen, one of the great Hachamim of Turkey. Hold on. Rabbi Eliyahu Kohen of Izmir, Turkey, a contemporary, pretty much, more or less, of the great Falaji family. Rabbi Chaim Falaji is one of the great Hachamim of Izmir. More or less about those days. I'm not so sure about the actual overlapping of time. There might have been about a generation or so in between them. But for those who are familiar with the writings of Rabbi Chaim Falaji, know he was not only a great sage of halakha, he was also a very powerful mikubal of the what I call the old school, specifically dealing with issues of Kabbalah Ma'asit. These are people who had real psychic spiritual experience. So unlike many of these so-called Kabbalists today, who are brilliant academians, can quote to you all the writings of the Hasidim, of the Kitvei Ari and the Rashash. They know all of this. But what can they do? What function can they perform? When someone is in need of a miracle, is this the type of Irav that you can go to, who with a bracha can change death to life, can heal the sick, and do many things? We have had the Rabbanim of the old school who could do this. When you had someone who was mamash possessed, the Hachamim who knew how to do true exorcisms and the like. Rabbi Eliyahu Cohen was of that school. Rabbi Chaim Falaji was of that school. Those today have the Hasidic camps who call themselves Kabbalists and other schools. They don't know anything about this. They have brilliant academic credentials. They have brilliant philosophical ideas. And they have zero or next to zero practical experience in dealing with real things. There are different schools of Kabbalah, different ways of doing things. I am here to teach you that which many others do not know. I am not taking our lesson in these classes now from a book which is ancient and unavailable. On the contrary, Minchat Eliyahu is a book which is readily available in Jewish bookstores. It is published brand new by organizations out of Israel. And the version that I have in front of me, brand new version, matter of fact, is even a nice, easy-to-read voweled Hebrew. This type of material is not meant to be censored. It is not meant to be kept away. It is meant to be open. It is meant to be exposed. It is meant to be taught to all those who can possibly, be'ezrat Hashem, receive its message. In Turkey in those days, as well as in many other Middle Eastern countries, before this poison, this virus of rationalism swept across the Jewish world, wiping out anything that it dared to suspect was mystical. Spiritual, psychic phenomena was well accepted and embraced, was recognized for its truth, as it has always been in Torah circles, gosh, since the days of Sinai and before. Indeed, it is only this modern rationalist movement of the last maybe 100 years or so which is an anomaly, an abnormality in Judaism, and in all due respect, should be treated as such. Any sage And Chacham, who is not familiar with the true mechanics, as I call it, of psychic phenomena, as outlined by our Torah, should not truly be called a sage, should not truly be called a Chacham. Those words are not my own. You will find they are mirrored in the words of a great Chacham and sage, a great Mikubal, by the name of Rabbi Shaul Dweka Kohen, in his Hakdama, introduction to his commentary on the book Otzrot Chaim called Epa Shlema. But, be it as it may, politics are as they are, people's prejudices be as they are, frankly, I don't care. I am here to teach you. You are here to learn. You have a choice to accept the words of our sages or not. Let us begin now in the fourth chapter of Sefer Minchat Eliyahu. Bezrat Hashem, I'll read to you the original language, translate and comment, and we shall move along. The fourth parak deals with the Inyan HaMalachim VeHaShedim, with the topic of angels and what we call demons. People have always had experiences of all different types of nature. Don't think that in our modern rationalist world such experiences have ceased, or for that matter, have diminished. Nothing of that nature is true at all. Indeed, though the images have changed, the format has changed, but the experiences have not changed at all. Today, people do not claim to see angels or demons. They claim to see what? Aliens from outer space. Good aliens, bad aliens. Now, rationalists dismiss these encounters and say, nonsense, figments of the imaginations, sickened minds, and the like. Well, I think those who are so quick to dismiss might be the ones of sick mind. There has been a book written, I believe, by a Harvard psychiatrist who has interviewed, I believe, over 10,000 people claiming to be victims of alien encounters or abduction. And while he cannot necessarily confirm that that is exactly what has happened to them, he can confirm psychologically that each one of them is convinced that what has happened to them is true. You don't have 10,000 mistakes of that nature. No, these types of experiences are real. Today we call them by something else. Therefore, what Rabbi Cohen is going to offer us in his teachings here are very important. Because today, while we may or may not be seeing shindalits or angels, other types of encounters occur on a regular basis to everyone from all walks of life. And therefore, it is the obligation of a sage, and I cannot claim to be such, but I will endeavor to live up to what it's meant to be such, obligation to teach, to educate, to enlighten, so people can come to know the truth and separate it from falsehood, to protect ourselves from the multiple malevolent forces that surround us and seek our harm. The fourth parak begins and states, Masechet Ketubot Perak HaNoseh. According to Gemara, Masechet Ketubot Perak HaNoseh, which is in Daf Kuf Gimel, it tells a very peculiar story with regards to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He is Rabbi Judah the Prince, the author of the Mishnah. And it states with regards to him, Kol Be Shimshi Have Ate Levate, that every Friday night he would come to his house. V'ahu Be Shimshe Ate Shevivta Kakare Abava. Now, he would come to his house every Friday night, of course, to say Kiddush with his family. And one Friday night, a neighbor came to the door and called with a loud voice, the Amra Amate, and his servant spoke, actually, it's a female servant, spoke and said, Shitiku, the Rebbe Yativ, be quiet, Rebbe is here. Kevan sheshama shuv lo ata, And being that Rebbe heard that his presence was announced, he never went back to his house. Why? Shilolo tzila'az al tzadikim arishonim adkan. So as not to make the earlier great sages look bad. And that's the end of the Gemara. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, what on earth is this talking about? Rebbe goes to his house Friday night to say Kiddush. Some neighbor comes and bangs loudly on the door, makes a fuss. The housemaid tells him to go away, shut up, Rebbe's doing Kiddush. And because of that, he doesn't come home anymore? Well, what's the big deal all about? Well, in order to understand this Gemara, you must understand a very, very vital and important point that is not mentioned here. You see, Rebbe would go to his house Friday night to do Kiddush after he had died and was no longer in the living. And he would go back to his house, not in ghostly form, but in almost physical form, and would do Kiddush for his family. The implication is that he sat and ate with them. I thought ghosts were like, you know, sheets and mists of vapor. What on earth? How could Rebbe do this? And it was, when it was made known, he did not return. Because, none of the other earlier sages do this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did not do this. Rabbi Akiva did not do this. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai did not do this. Hillel Shammai did not do this. So, he didn't want to make everybody look bad, so he didn't come back. This is not symbolic language that the Gemara is teaching us. This is not a metaphor. This is actual. How is it that the soul of the dead can come back from the dead? Indeed, this is a great question. And it is answered at the beginning of the fifth chapter, which we're not going to discuss now, but I'm going to jump ahead to just answer the question. You see, entities which are not physical can very much become physical. Compare it, if you will, to a virtual reality. Maybe you're familiar with a very famous set of movies called The Matrix. I think it was starring Keanu Reeves. Where in which a person is living in the real world and he enters into a virtual reality so real that the people who are in it really can't tell the difference between that and other reality. You see, an angel exists outside, a soul, a shindalit, exists outside of our parameters of space-time. They can enter our dimensional plane in a similar way that we enter into the computer virtual reality. For the one in the computer simulation, the visitor looks as real as we are. But for the visitor, he recognizes that he is indeed just visiting and enters and exits at will. We do so with the means of a technological device called a virtual reality helmet. I can't tell you what type of device or technology that souls, shadim, or angels use from their dimension to enter into ours. But yet, being that they are not omnipresent and omniscient like God, they obviously have some ways and means within their nature, very possibly even some form of technology, through which they present themselves. And the Gemara is saying that this is exactly what Rebbe did. Now, if you're familiar again, to expand on this example of virtual reality, why enter into the virtual reality? Again, from the example of the Matrix movies, I could take on any form, image, or shape that I can. And therefore, any of these entities in our reality, of angels, demons, or souls, they can also take on any form that they may or wish. Is that not true? That is the point that Rabbi Cohen here wishes to address. And so he states, צריך לחקור אם יש מציאות שיכולים רוחות השדים להראות עצמם כצורת הצדיקים. We must examine if there's any reality to the possibility of spirits or demons presenting themselves in the image of the tzaddikim. ונראה דלא. Apparently, no, they cannot do such. ממעשה זה של רבי שהיה בא כל בשמשי. And he learns this from the example of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who would come to his house every Friday night. And our sages have also taught Bamidrash Parashat Vayechi, and also in the Gemara, She Eliyahu, speaking of course of Eliyahu Hanavi, Nidma Letzorat Rabbi Chia Keshechash Rabbi Bishinav. There is a story in the Gemara when Eliyahu Hanavi came in the form of Rabbi Chia and appeared so to Rabbi at a specific time. He had a problem with his tooth, it says here, V'sami Adav Alav V'rif O. And he put his hand on him and healed him. Rabbi thought it was Rabbi Chia, because that's who he saw, even though it was actually someone else. Now, the dark side cannot imitate and present itself as the light. But who's to say the light can't imitate itself as someone other of their own side? B'sefer HaZohar HaKadosh, and in the Holy Zohar, kama v'kama ma'asiyot elu ein hekir. The Zohar also has numerous examples of this without number. V'im shed o ruach yichol la'albish atzmo b'tzorat ha-tzadik. Now, if the demon or the spirit is able to present itself or cloak itself, it says here in the image of the tzaddik, miyomar shaya rabbeinu akadosh v'lo ruach. How could we ascertain and validate that that was actually Rebbe who came to his house and not some spirit? V'ken b'kolam ekomot muskarim b'zohar. This would be the same question you would have with every case mentioned in the Zohar and in the Talmud, in Ma'arot, Tzorat HaTzadikim, of all the times when there is examples of the appearance of the great and holy Tzadikim. The inlakshot, don't argue or question now, she'ashed yichol lidamot l'tzorat ha-malach, that a demon could appear as an angel. Ki divrei hachomeno zichram livracha, as our sages have already spoken in Masechet Hagigah, daf tet zayin. Shalosh yesh lehem kebnei adam v'shalosh kemalachei asharet. Shindalets in three ways are like angels. They can indeed fly. They can indeed, if you will, disappear. And they can know the future 30 days out in advance. But yet in three ways they're like human beings. They eat and they drink. They sexually procreate and they die. V'yesh omrim Marim atzman kemalachei asharet. There are those who say that they can't appear like the angels above. Mishum shebeotam balikan apayim, being that they have wings like angels, marim atzman kemalachim, then they can appear like angels. Now, before I continue, let me just digress for a moment. In modern experiences, we don't really have people seeing angels or demons with wings. But as I give the example, if you're talking about extraterrestrials, which seems to be the great phenomenon, what people claim to be seeing, how come these so-called aliens, one look like these little gray guys, the others look like these big, blonde, beautiful people? I actually saw a book that was written by one individual from Europe who claimed that the aliens are these big, tall, blonde-haired, beautiful men and women. And he actually had a photograph of one of the blonde aliens in the book. And you go, whoa, this gal should be a model on the cover of the magazines. That's what the aliens look like in outer space. Boy, sign me up on the next flying saucer, huh? Yeah, that's what you would think, isn't it? Now, what he is saying here, what the Gemara is teaching is that angels and demons do have some similarities between them. and therefore can use those similarities even in the form of modern experience to present themselves in a form that can blur the mind, cloud one's judgment. So therefore, the example of wings is actually only archetypal or metaphor. But the danger, of course, still exists, and the possibility of similarity, not identical, but similar. Veda, shekedei la'arot atzmam kemalachim, in order to present themselves as angels, behechrech shehu bederech arma, it says they are obligated now to do so in a deceitful fashion, and they must lechasot raglehem, to conceal their feet, ba'ofen shelo yihiyu neraim, so that people will not see their feet, mishum sheragle hamalach, because the feet of angels and demons are different, being that they are of different species. Angels are said to have a single foot, quoting here, of course, the famous pasuk in Ezekiel, in the first chapter, in the seventh pasuk, veraglehem, regeli shara, that their feet are the single leg, the kaf reglem ke kaf egel, and that the hoof of their feet is like the hoof of a cow, regle hashed ke tarnagol, but the feet of a shindalit is kind of like a chicken. That's what it says here. Ki divrei hachomeno zichram livracha, like our sages have said in Masechet Gittin, in Daf Samachet Amud Bet, with regards to Ashmodai, who is the king of all the shindalits, that he said to Shlomo. Very interesting story there, not to get into it this time. V'shalchu ha-hachamim livtoko bereglav. Ashmodai, who was king of the Shindalites, literally kidnapped King Solomon, threw him out of the palace, and took his place. And being that the king was acting so bizarre, the sages kind of were suspicious something was up. And they examined the king's feet and found that they weren't human, and therefore exposed the imposter. That's the story. And you could say, oh, come on, these are just stories. We're rationalists today. You know something? Get off your rationalist horse. If you're going to think so clear and so rationalist, let me tell you something. You, more than anyone else, are a target for demonic attack. Because it's your denial that will literally open your mind up to a poison that will always destroy your soul. You can accept or reject what I'm saying. Frankly, I don't care. I know Mashiach is coming soon, and that is, they say everything's going to be washed out in the end. So how you stand, how you wish to stand between now and then, that's your choice. Moving right along. V'hi damotam la'malach hu betzorat hapanim. The way that shindalits are similar to angels is in the aspect of their face, ubetnu atakanafayim, and in the movement of their wings. Now, what are we saying here? If you ever have a vision of an entity, you ask him to take his shoes off so you can see his feet, and he says, oh, he doesn't have feet like a chicken, so I guess he's okay, right? No, wrong. Remember, these are metaphors. Feet, heads, these are all expressions, if you will, of generalities and specifics. All right? The head is almost like the general, because that's the first thing you see. The feet are usually concealed. That's more like the specifics. So therefore, if anyone ever has any kind of an experience with any kind of an entity, that entity might very well begin to appear as something cool, enlightening, holy. And how, oh gosh, I cannot tell you how many times I've had people who tell me they're having visions of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Eliyahu HaNavi, and all the rest. And I know that they're having nothing but visions of the shindalits. But, oh, they know better. Why? Because they feel it. They look at the face. They look at the wings. They look at all of the externals and the peripheries, but they don't do the detailed questioning. And therefore, they become seduced by these agents of evil, and they themselves become nothing else other than agents of evil. And it ends up poisoning their lives, their souls, and everything else. And as I said,
You know, all you can do is teach. People have the obligation to learn.
If
you make all of the appropriate and necessary examinations and questions, you will see they have chicken feet. And again, don't take that so literally. There's another difference between the angels and the demons. Hamalach, when an angel wishes he can make himself appear as if he is a burning fire, he can also make himself appear like he's glowing fire. So he can appear as if he's glowing. We say something is like fire. It's not really like an angel, like a guy, like a man who's on fire. They're actually like a glowing entity. That's really what that means. The Shin Dalit does not do this. He cannot come appearing in glowing fashion. Dichtiv, and they quote here a pasuk from Bereshit Aleph Dalit. V'yara Elokim et ha'or ki tov, because God saw the light and it was good. V'ein zot amida b'shedim, and this is not therefore the attribute of Shin Dalits. Now, I have to explain. What kind of light? They're speaking of the light of the first day of creation, which is the light of life, the light of essence. If you will, it was the light or the fire of the burning bush that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. It's not like a glow like we would think today, that we kind of thing that we see in our movies. But rather, this is a specific type of a glow. A specific type of a glow of a life force energy. The likes of which I'm not sure I have permission to describe publicly. But it is very clearly, distinctually different from that which one would endeavor to imitate. If you ever want to know what is an imitation, if you ever have an experience of an entity who looks like something you've seen in a movie, oh gosh, do you really need me to tell you? They're obviously tapping into an image in your mind to tell you something. Dismiss this image. This image is not clear. It is not true. It is not kadosh. And therefore, this is the distinction. The dark entities cannot touch the light of the first day of creation, which we say is put aside for the benefit of the tzaddikim in the world to come. It is the level of clarity, of consciousness, of wisdom and enlightenment. You cannot have such a clarified experience of an entity at that level. In other words, if the experience of an entity is cloudy, hazy, not so clearly coherent, rest assured, it is not kadosh. Now, if these entities, these shindalas, could come in the form of, as we said, this fire. Niyamar, then who could say, quoting here, that a certain angel, who was called the Prince of the Torah, who came and appeared to Rabbi Yishmael, after he went and fasted 40 days. How do we know that this entity was truly an angel? I mean, if the Shindala can duplicate and imitate, how would we know? Apal pi, sheba be'esh mitlakachat, gamashed yichol lavoken. So, if the Shindalit can do so, how would we know who's an angel? And therefore, the Shindalit can never come in the form of this clarity of mind, coherence, which we call fire. And even our sages have said, quoting here Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Kaf Amud Bet, Shamalach Amalach Malea Anayim, that even though the angel of death, as we said, is full of eyes, Levosho Ish, and he is cloaked in fire, hey, didn't we just say Shindalas can't be in fire? Now, Putafka, but this is only speaking about the angel of death. The Eno Shalhevet Ya Kimalache Rom. But that's still, the angel of death doesn't have that same fire as does the angels above of Hashem. He has a clarity. Believe me, when you're in the process of dying, and you would see the messenger, the one who is sent to take you over the bridge. Oh, it's clear, but not as clear as when you are very in a crystal clear state of consciousness that snaps awake when you dawn into the Gan of Eden.
They
only appear as glowing entities and such like this so as to place fear in the hearts of man, meaning those who were there taking across the bridge, meaning from life to death. Nonetheless, they're not able to cloak themselves in that aspect of light as do the holy angels. Now he continues and says, Matzati b'sifrei kadmonim. Pay attention to this. This is the entire essence of this entire lesson. In the writings of the ancient Kabbalists, he states here, ish mepi ish, handed down orally from man to man over the years. Ha'hevdel she'ish bin ish kedusha l'ish tuma. How do you know the difference between holy fire and the unclean fire? He states like this, She'ha'ish, she'hu metzad kedusha, the fire which emanates from the side of holiness, ner'e chashuch mebachutz, uvahir ad me'od v'pnimiyuto. Holy fire appears dark on the outside, but becomes more brilliant and more brilliant the deeper inside you go. Ve'esh shehu mitzad tamei. But the unclean fire is the opposite. Bahir mebachutz, it's brilliant from the outside. Ubepnimiyotav hu chashuch, its inside is dark. No one understands this specifically with relationship to teachings. How many times have we heard people, cults, present to us the most profound and beautiful of teachings, far out, man, cool, groovy, yeah, all well and good. But inside there's nothing there. This is the eshtuma, the unclean fire. Whereas the true purity of Torah doesn't appear so hot. Doesn't appear like anything interesting. It's kind of like dark, which means mysterious. I don't understand it and not attracted to it. And why should I go for it? It's only when you penetrate the veil and you go in do you begin to see the brilliant shining of the light. And unless you make such an effort of penetration, you will see nothing. And all you will be attracted to will be the unclean fire, the false teachings of the cults, the lies. And as you see, the vast majority of people, that's where they go. And again, as I said, in these pre-messianic days, we're in a countdown, and ultimately and inevitably, every soul is going to go to where they got to go. And that's just the way it's going to be. Moving right along. Uli HaMechaber. Now Rabbi Eliyahu is going to tell us a personal story about his own experiences in Izmir, Turkey. Maaseh haya kachaya. Says there was a story, and this is it. Sheba lifanai ish legalot lisod b'sitrei starim. A man came to me because he wanted to reveal to me the concealed secrets. Yeah, how many times do you always get? I get emails from people all day. Rabbi, you know so much, but I have what to reveal from you. I have spoken to the archangel. I have spoken to the prophet. And every time I get these emails from these crazy people, I go, oh my God, another one. My gosh, aren't there enough psychiatrists in the world? That's actually my attitude. Because I listen to them, and I do read them. And not everything that they say is false, but through years of experience, I've been able to recognize, to weed through the truth from the falsehood. And these are not people who are crazy lunatics out there in cults. Many of them are black-hatted Orthodox people coming from the confines of the inner, you know, yeshivas in the Haredi world, many even from Eretz Israel. And I'm saddened to see such a lack of discretion, of ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Rabbi Cohen continues about his experience with someone coming to reveal to him the concealed truths. Shaya b'chol laila v'laila, Nir'e lo malach echad, that every single night an angel would come to this man, Bal Kanafayim, who was a master, had wings, right? Yafei Anayim, and beautiful eyes and a beautiful appearance. And it would reveal to him the secrets of the future, things that were going to happen. I know a lot of people who claim that they are receiving impressions or something else of the future. Secrets about people and their personalities. Many of which, as I said, are true. You know, so what? What do you think, I'm impressed? Big deal. Like I said, Shindalits like angels can know the future, can know the secrets. Big deal. Being that I do know this, I am not impressed. So if I meet a Shindalit or a Malach, both of them can come and say, you know what's going on inside you, don't you? And I can say, yeah, I do. And I know that you do too. Doesn't mean that you're an angel. And you know what's going to happen in a week, 2 weeks, or a month down the line, don't you? And I could say, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But either way, just because you know doesn't mean that you're an angel. This is the truth that you must understand. Continuing our story. V'sha'al me'meno mihu. The man, of course, asks this so-called angel, who are you? And the angel says, my name is Gavriel. Oh, you know what that means, don't you? He's speaking to the holy archangel Gabriel, isn't he? Well, isn't he? Let's continue before I answer. Sometimes this Gabriel would come with three other people, very handsome, tall, you know, distinguished looking characters. And they said that their names were Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore this man said to me, again Rabbi Cohen telling the story, the man says to Rabbi Eliyahu, now look, I know that I'm no great and holy tzaddik. I'm not worthy of having such great revelations. Therefore, I'm kind of concerned. Shema lo yushadim. How do I know these guys aren't really shindalits? Even though everything that they tell me to do is to tell me to do good things. How do I know they're not just like setting me up for the kill, fattening me up? How do I know they're just not telling me to do good, so I'll believe them, and ultimately they'll tell me to do bad, and I'll believe them in that too? Ki ken darakam lefatot b'derech yishara. The way of the dark side always is to connect you, to get you to do what's good. Kidei lachshilo b'sofo, so they can trip you up in the end. And this is so true. If they're going to start telling you to do bad things, no one's going to listen. But they always begin by telling you to do good things, and then trip you up in the end. I said, you know something? Rabbi Cohen again says, I got to think about this. Come back in a couple of days. And he goes, you know something? In a couple of days, we'll see from what they say exactly who they themselves are. Again, as I said, there's a way and a means of testing. After a month now, the guy comes back to me and told me more things that these guys went and told him. And it was like getting really close to something dangerous. Then I knew for sure that they were Shindalits. Just by the fact of what they were telling him and how they were telling him, aha, they blew their cover. We know who they are. The Hashem ha'ir enai, Hashem opens my eyes. Shem Hashem rulo, anu Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. Right? Being, you know, they open my eyes. What is it that means that these guys say they're Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Humoda'a. I learned that the Shindalits, they're not lying. They choose from amongst their own numbers people who have the names Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Gabriel, or something similar. And they therefore come and appear to this person and say that these are our names. They're not lying now. Indeed, they share the names of the great and holy sages. There are what we call Jewish demons, as it says in the Zohar. In other words, the soul of wicked and evil Jews, who upon passing are beyond the ability to do teshuvah. They are literally too wicked to even go into Gehinnom for rectification. They become trapped on the earth. They become earthbound souls, wandering around aimlessly. These become what we call the Jewish demons. Needless to say, this also happens to Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and every other person of every other walk of life. Woe to us. He's hearty l'isha l'zeh, so I warn this man now, k'shechuzrim etzlecham, when these guys come back to you, sha'amotem et sh'al shemotam, inquire about their names. K'shomrim, and when they say to you that their names are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amar lehem, say to them, are you truly the avot ha'olam? Are you truly the fathers of the world, the ones spoken of in the Bible, or just your names are similar? So that's what the guy did. V'k'sheshemu kach baruchu lehem. And when they heard him question them, they split. They ran away. Ahar kama chamisha yamin. Then after about 5 days, they came back. V'amru lo, hatam shebaruchu me'etzlecha, mishum sheba'oto rega. The reason why we split is at that moment when you asked this question. Oh, it wasn't because we were afraid of the question. Oh, no, no, no. At that moment, we heard a heavenly proclamation speak that we had to go on a mission. Now we're done. Because and now we're back. Miyar hazara ish etzli, and the guy comes and tells me all this that's happened. V'simeli devarim, and he told me what they all said. V'natati lo ketav, v'koach shelo yavo od etzlo. And I wrote him what's pretty much an amulet, preventing those entities from returning to harass this poor man and trying to confuse him. And they never returned, and that's just the way it was. V'adayna nirei elav, Bahaya Omer. Now the other guy who was named Gabriel, he still came back. And he hayatamid at slow. He would always come. Magilo devarim amitiim atidot lihiot. And we revealed to him true things about the future. And I knew too that this was also a shindalit. Afa pishaya magidlo atidot. Even though he told him things about the future. Like I said, three ways they're like angels, and one of those is that for 30 days out, they can know what the future is. They know what will be. And what the future will hold. Like our sages have taught. And I said to this man then, when this guy comes back to you, this so-called Gabriel, Shilachechu etzli, tell him to come to me. V'amar lo b'shmi, tell him in my name. Sh'al yirei le'ish asher ein lo pei. Dila va'alim atzmo mimeini. He says, no, don't go trying to hide yourself from me, right? Right? O metzadikim ha'chasidim ha'chamim ha'chukamim. Don't go and try to hide yourself from people who are more righteous and more holy. You know, come to the big guys. Don't just stay around with you. You're a little guy. V'shiv sh'ken sh'muchrach ma'asav la'sot sivui ki ala ish hazeh davka nishtalach. But the angel says, no, I can only come to you. Right? I'm only sent to you, no one else. Shalachti lo tivikesh me'adon. Talk to this so-called angel and say, go ask God that he gives you permission to go and speak to Rabbi Cohen. Excuse me. So he can validate what you're saying. And this can therefore be made public so everybody will know. Because no angel is sent, you know, for no reason. Because, you know, no one's listening, no one's here to hear what you got to say. So therefore, come on, let's publicize this. So, go and speak to the rabbi. Never responded. And he disappeared then, his angel, so-called angel, did for 3 days. And then after 3 days he came back. The Ka'as comes back, and now this so-called angel is real angry. And he says to him,
why are you telling other people about our, you know, secret times together? No one is worthy of having these secrets revealed other than you.
How many times have we heard that, right? People think, you know, oh, I'm chosen, no one else can know this other than me, and I got this special relationship. Whenever I hear that, believe you me, I'm more ready to call 911 and the psychiatrist more than anything else. I recognize that we got a real loony on our hands. But this is true. These things do happen. This is not just the 1800s in Izmir, Turkey. This is 2008 in Los Angeles, in New York, in Jerusalem, in the Haredi community, in the Christian community, and the secular community, in every community. Because these are real things that happen to real people. And it's dangerous, and that is why I am teaching you these things, so that you know that this is not theory. This is not philosophy. This is real. You don't get much more real than this. Getting back to our story.
The angel then threatens the man and says, I'm angry at you. Be careful lest I smite you.
So when this stupid man heard the threat, he was intimidated. The Rabbi Cohen says he's stupid. And he didn't tell Rabbi Cohen anything of what happened. He kept it quiet for days.
And
he lied, the man did, and said, you know, from that day on, he never came back and never told me anything. The Rabbi Cohen then says, and I understood from what he was saying, that he was afraid, and that's why he told me what he did. And I said to him, don't you hide this from me. Don't you lie to me. You're going to find that the end is going to be very bitter. Alright?
Why should you die before your time?
Don't give in to this. Don't believe this. Let this be a message for all these people who believe in all their cult gurus, their maharajas, and all the rest of this stuff. Don't you fall for this. Or believe you me, like our sages say, you're the walking dead.
Continuing. So,
when the man heard what Rabbi Cohen said, he confessed and he told him all the truth, right? And therefore I sent him also some writings, right? She said, also, sent him like an amulet or something, don't come back to this guy. And so I said to this man here, so you should ask the so-called Gabriel whether he is in truth. If you are the real angel Gabriel, the archangel, and if so, hey, let's take a look at your feet. The Kenasa, and that's what he did. And he says he showed him his feet. They weren't like a chicken, but they were like person's feet. Small, very, very small, right? And they had like really strange looking toes, right? And he says it looked kind of like aquatic. It was more like a chicken, but Amarlo, Yish Malachim, Shiraglaim Kach, Vani Beotomin. So this Gabriel says, hey, I'm of a certain type of a race of an angel. That's the kind of feet we got. That's the kind of attitude that he had. You know, what's the matter? You don't like my feet? Sha'alo. Shekafar amar shahaya Gavriel. Asha yarad im amerkava b'sinai. So he now had to ask precisely, are you really the archangel Gabriel? Are you the one who came down in the Merkava Hashem on Mount Sinai? And you're the ones who have the legs like the feet of the calf, like we learned from our holy sage, as it says in the book of Ezekiel. So this angel Gabriel says, I can change and make myself appear any which way I can. So when I heard this, shelachti lo b'koach gadol, then I sent even a bigger, more powerful amulet, v'halach lo. And then the guy never returned. V'lo yisaf od ledato. And therefore it never came back to him. Now, Adkan. I'm going to stop here in our story here in Bezat Hashem. We're going to pick it up in our next lesson. Because boy, oh boy, we got a lot to cover. But in conclusion for this lesson, this is an example of one man who had visions, impressions. I don't know. Rabbi Cohen doesn't really state for us if these happened with the guy's eyes opened, his eyes closed. Was it a dream? Was it a vision? Was it actually physically there? Judging from the example that the Gemara gives about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi coming to his house, I guess it could really be physical. Judging from the examples that I've seen written in thousands of reports by people who claim that they're experiencing extraterrestrials, I guess that theirs can be somewhat physical. These dangers are obviously still amongst us today, and unless we take the appropriate steps to protect and prepare ourselves, we can all succumb to them. Step one, obviously, is education. Learning the words of our holy sages, walking in their path and listening to their admonishments, and not being seduced by what we want, by what we feel, but what we think is cool. And I know from personal experience, people who I have dealt with in my own life, who have had visions of lying shindalots, and they will swear to you that they are true and that I was lying. Indeed, I had one student told me constantly. He always had visions of Eliyahu Navi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they were telling him this thing and that thing, and that they had messages for me, which I listened to, and I tested them, and of course that was not real. And indeed, this student ended up dismissing me as his Rav, because he chose to listen to his voices, rather than the voice of Torah and truth. So be it. I mean, I can't change the world. He's in God's hands like everybody else's. But again, I emphasize, I know this for truth. These things do happen. They are happening now. They might be happening in your own lives. Let's continue in this series of lessons on the ways of angels and demons from the work of Minchat Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Kohen, in the fourth chapter. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick up in our next lesson. Baruch Adonai Lo'olam. Amen.